This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
It is 4 minutes past 10 on Friday morning. This is CliffCentral.com, unscripted and radio, and fair chance this morning, most decidedly uncensored. Yeah, that's your fault.
I know, it always is. The improv is left to me. It's what I'm used to. It's what I feel comfortable doing, I think.
Well, so
have I ever told you that your beginning jingle is so sexy?
Thank you.
Hey?
I really love
it. Lounge music, 10 o'clock, Friday morning. It just gets me in the mood. Like, I have to talk like this.
Yeah, that's what it's for. That's exactly what it's for.
Getting excited
exactly
already.
That's what it's for. And so cool to have you back with us today.
Good morning,
I'm really
John.
Pleased.
Where were you?
Last week. Where was I last
Your
week?
Your house was flooded.
Oh, we flooded our house.
Oh, my gosh.
So they squirted.
We squirted so much. There was vaginal juice. No, it wasn't, actually. So imagine having no water on a Monday and most of Tuesday and someone leaving the tap open. And when you get home that afternoon, 4 o'clock, opening the door and there's water running out of everywhere.
Oh, my God. I've done it before as well.
It was no fun time.
I've tapped a bath. Spoken on the phone and then gone, ah, yeah. And flooded
when you
my
see
entire
the bath
house.
Come to join you in the
yes,
bedroom.
Exactly.
It's also the worst possible time to find out that this kind of thing is not insured through any insurance company.
Oi, yes. That is
Oy,
the worst.
Is that because of the reason for it?
Yes.
So the fact that you left the tap on.
Yeah, so if it was by a burst pipe, a burst geyser, whatever, then it's totally covered. Yeah. But an accidental thing happening... Not covered.
Fair enough.
You're
Fair
screwed.
Oy vey.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So please join our conversation on
0861-555-189 or send us a message to screen on WeChat. Alternatively, drop us a line on Twitter at sextalk_cliffc.
And we are talking this morning about sexual myths, the truth. What does porn tell us? What does the media tell us? What does Cosmo tell us? And by the way, somebody did a study because I've written for almost every magazine in the country except Cosmo. Never. And somebody did a study a while ago. The worst sex advice ever is found in
Cosmo. No way.
Yes.
And the
have you
is,
read those articles?
Of course I have. Of course I have. Because as you are talking now, I'm like, that is that, or at least that used to be the Bible. That used to be the only way I found out about sex, read about sex, knew about sex was Cosmo.
And that's why we have half the problems there.
Yeah.
We do.
And I mean, I think guys get it from Men's Health. Is that correct? And is Men's Health the same or is it more?
It's a little bit better, but not a whole stack.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And okay. So let's start with this, shall we?
Ninja sex. Chocolate starfish. Twitter bag. Calipagian.
Today's dirty dictionary word is
yeastiality.
Ugh.
Dirty dictionary word.
Yeastiality. Any idea?
My mom's going to a bad place.
Sounds, really gross. Mm. It sounds like a desire for or some sort of fetish for yeast infections.
Mm.
Ugh.
Yeah, you're quite far from it.
Actually.
Am I? Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah. You were in
or
the same
a love
place.
For Marmite. Absolutely. A love for Marmite.
No,
either
love
or.
For Marmite.
Yeah.
No, you're either kind or. Of way, way, way away.
Okay.
So maybe it's someone that likes to make a dough with a lot of yeast and make it rise and then use that to sexually pleasure themselves.
The bread.
The
yes,
bread.
Carbohydrates.
Okay. Well,
we're far off.
We will see. We will see.
Okay.
We shall see. Okay. So sexual myths, this comes up every now and then because it's a really important issue, because we get so much myth, so much misinformation, so much misunderstanding about sex, and we're not given open and honest sex education. You know, and we speak about this a lot, and it's one of my biggest soapboxes, that our sex education is based on how not to get pregnant, how not to get HIV, any other STIs, and that's kind of it. And nobody really tells us about pleasure. So we have all these amazing sorts of myths and misinformation that we actually end up believing as being truth.
Yeah.
And this morning was saying, so let's look at some of these and let's see what's the truth. And one of my biggest, I love playing with this idea, is what we call the porn Disney combo. So the porn Disney combo gives us this amazing range of myths about sex. So porn teaches us all these wonderful things, that every woman goes to bed with high heels and that's absolutely fine and comfortable, and it doesn't tear any of your sheets and anything else.
Yeah.
That every woman has multiple orgasms from sheer pounding penetration. Mm. Nipples are like the dials on a radio.
Yes.
Looking for the station. That it's fine to come all over her face. Ugh. The fact that it burns like hell when it gets in your eyes is a whole other story.
It does?
I don't know. I've never had it in the eye. Thank God.
It does.
I always thought spoon was like
that's why John T's got one limb, a weak eye. One limb pie at that side. Hey.
I always thought that sperm was like this very neutral kind of tasting, smelling.
It is quite neutral tasting, but I
mean. Can be, because it tastes different for every man. Diet has an impact. All kinds of things have.
Well, that is true, because a woman is the same.
That's
so depending on what you eat will change
how
you
are. And think about also different times of your cycle will taste differently, will smell differently. So exactly the same thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then kind of what we call the Disney sort of stroke Hollywood part of that shows us this amazing trail of beautiful clothes leading to the bed. And there's an empty bottle of champagne in the ice bucket, and the curtains are blowing in the breeze on the beach, and everybody had this simultaneous orgasm the night before, and hair is perfect in the morning,
and she sleeps with makeup on.
That's it.
Yes.
And you wake up and you kind of can't wait to snuggle with each other, nobody has bad breath, and all of that stuff. And that's the kind of nonsense that we grow up believing.
Well, you do know, I mean, we learned about it in psychology, actually, that Disney movies have a subliminal sex scene or sex image. Or so, like, for example, when Simba falls to the floor in The Lion King, when Mufasa is in the clouds and all the leaves rise up, they spell sex. So if you press pause, you can see it. And when the priest marries Ariel and the prince, he gets a tiny little erection. So it's like, you know, it's people like watch out for the little
movies to put on your to watch list this weekend.
Like, for your kids. Let your kids see them as well.
Rule 34 abounds everywhere. Mm. But that's the kind of stuff. And then Disney also, they have this formula. Because if you watch, there's this exact formula.
It's called classical Hollywood formula.
Yeah, it's like Mills and Boone formula. In you know, all these romance novels in exactly the same kind of way.
Mm.
But it's all these myths. And then we have as well all these myths about relationship. So let's start kind of somewhere a little bit differently. What's the biggest lesbian sex myth?
Okay, so the biggest lesbian myth
is
that there's a man in the relationship.
Okay.
That one is a man and one is a woman. That's always one of the biggest.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But I think one of the biggest lesbian lives or myths would be that, one, if you're a lesbian, that you cannot actually break and that a girl's virginity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if two girls have sex, that you can't actually break their virginity.
Well, that's absolute nonsense, firstly, because a finger can do that, or a toy, or anything else.
So I think that's one of the biggest myths. And then one of the other ones would probably be that, sex of another woman is not real sex.
Mm-hmm.
That two women having sex together is not real sex.
So there has to be penetration for real sex.
Yes, and then I've also heard myths that lesbians don't necessarily like penetration.
That's another big one. We spoke about that a couple of weeks ago.
Yes,
So I think other than all the other shit around what lesbians do and don't, I think those are pretty much the biggest ones.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And none of those are actually, there's no truth to any of them. There's no substance to any of them.
I mean, if you watch that BuzzFeed video on gays and lesbians and the questions they get asked. It's hilarious. So it's like absolutely
You've got to
so
visit
funny.
Our page on the website, because the funny for today is, the funny video is, it's either the first time gay men touch a yoni. Or the first time
a lesbian
women
touches,
touching a cock.
Penis.
One of the two.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
so it's
funny.
Up there. So whichever one it is, the other one will be next week.
Yeah. Is it a sketch?
No, it's for real.
No, it's also
really?
Yeah. It's one of those like BuzzFeed videos that they did of lesbians touching or seeing a penis for the first time.
And what is it? Like, oh. And sometimes reaction videos are the best. Mm. Like, two girls, one cup. I've seen it.
No.
I know. I'm sorry. I had to bring it up. Like, you watch the video and you're like, I may die. Mm. But then you watch the reaction video and you're like, this is the best thing I have ever seen in my life, because you've got people going, oh, no. You know,
we do that every year at Sexpo, because on our stand there, we play the Yoni Massage DVD.
Yes.
Which shows explicit Yoni Massage and women having these orgasms. And every year, people come and say, you just got to watch the faces of the people watching this. And we should have a camera above the screen going
you
to another screen. Because it's shock and it's horror and it's amazement. And it's some of these dirty old men who stand there for 8 hours a day nonstop watching this stuff.
And you know what the truth is? Is from watching the audience or from watching the reaction, you pick up on their emotions and what they're going through, you know. So it's the same with like something like stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
When a stand-up comic laughs at his own jokes, you may not find the joke funny, but you're laughing at the comic laughing at himself.
Yeah,
you know, emotion is contagious.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's these laughing yoga, there's laughing meditations, which are fantastic.
Yeah.
And you should laugh during sex. That's something, because we take sex so
but sometimes you
seriously.
Have laughing orgasms.
Yes.
Which afterwards you're like, ha, 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 ha.
And those are just so beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Those are the best.
Absolutely.
Yes. Be like, I don't know why I'm in hysterics, but I am.
So I went and I found a whole lot of stuff that we can talk about today.
Yeah.
Which is really, really cool.
Were you worried we were going to run out of stuff?
I was not.
Oh, good.
But during the week, I had a sneaky suspicion that I might have been sitting here on my own this morning.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I went and prepared a whole
lot
of stuff.
Well, thank God for us. So, thank God you have such wonderful friends who love and adore you.
Absolutely.
And who wouldn't let you do that.
Absolutely. And it's cool and it's wonderful. And I did invite you last week, but I think you were on such a high and in such a different place.
I didn't hear a thing.
She got engaged and that's all she cared about the whole week.
As we're talking, I'm taking selfies.
And she's wearing makeup.
I know, this morning she's going on with me.
Did happen.
But I also, as I said, I had like a 20-hour day yesterday. Mm. Literally worked for 20 hours. So the fact that I'm even out of bed this morning is delightful for all of us.
Okay, so the first one, and this is no particular order of stuff. First one was that there is absolutely no correlation between shoe size and the size of your cock.
I've wondered about that.
In the same way, there is no correlation between the size of your hand or the distance between whatever it's supposed to be. You know, the tip of your little finger in there or your thumb or the size of your nose or the size of your ears or whatever.
And your heart and your brain? Same thing. They say, like, your heart is this usually this size. Your brain is usually that. Look how tiny my brain is.
Well, there's no correlation. And generally, when men get sexual, they operate from one place at a time, which is... generally, all blood goes to the cock. That's where everything comes
from.
And the
brain switches off.
And when you start getting conscious, then you include the heart and you include the brain and the spirit and everything else. But a lot of times, it's one at a time.
Yeah.
So there is absolutely no connection whatsoever.
Okay.
Okay, so I can stop looking at men's feet now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm always curious, you know, even as a lesbian.
So, you know what they say about guys with big feet.
So you can stop looking at women's feet as well to say, if you got big feet, do you have big boobs?
Well, do you know what?
I just need to look at their boobs to know that.
Exactly. And can I tell you something, actually? During varsity, I was so over men that I actually said to one of my lesbian lecturers, and it was easy because I was at drama school. I was like, that's it. I am fully fledged lesbian. I have crossed the line. I never want to see another dick again. And she said, Claudine.
Until you see your first vagina.
No, she said, Claudine, with those shoes, you are not a lesbian. I was wearing sparkly silver shoes. And she's like, no lesbian I know wears glitter shoes. She was like, stick to the cock.
Okay. Well, we will find lesbians that wear glitter shoes. Absolutely. Yeah. No,
I think
question.
That's also.
If you are a lesbian and you wear glitter shoes, please write into the show right now.
I know lesbians that wear glitter shoes. I'm not one of them.
Yeah. Really?
No, yes. I cannot see you in glitter shoes.
No, I don't wear makeup, glitter shoes, high heels, none of it. But, you know, that's also one of the big myths. Well, it's not a sexual one, but about lesbians is that, one, they all have short, dyke hair. And I know I'm no example because I have short, dyke hair. But not all lesbians have short, dyke hair.
No, not at all.
And not all lesbians are actually, you know, masculine.
Not
or
at all.
You can have the most feminine, long-haired, high heel wearing lipstick lesbians.
Especially in porn movies.
Yeah.
Well, in porn movies, none of those women look lesbian. Let's
none of those
start
women
there.
Probably no. are lesbian.
Until you get into, you know, crash pad series and all the real stuff, and that's when it gets very real.
Well, that's actually why a lot of my lesbian friends say that they don't enjoy porn.
Thank you. We've
real.
Had this discussion before, you see? Especially that lesbians don't like lesbian porn.
Yeah,
which is a huge problem.
Get again into the real stuff, you know, then it becomes very,
we just
very
rather
different.
Watch the L Word. That's our porn.
I actually loved the L Word. I really did. Like, it was, not only was it really sexy, but it actually was a really good show.
And that really is such a great example of what a lesbian life is like, actually.
Yeah, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, I'm 100% straight, but I want to date Shane.
Oh, God.
Everybody wants to date Shane.
I'll be honest and tell you that I have never watched L Word for some...
I'm downloading it for you this weekend, and I'm getting...
Yeah, you got to start series one.
You know what the thing is? The L Word is not one of those, oh God, it's a gay show, I don't want to... It's really... It's
no, that doesn't bother
way,
me. I just
no, but I mean, some people think that way. It's like a gay show, I don't want to watch it. But the L Word is really... It's classily done. It's beautiful. It's got beautiful women. It's real lesbian stories.
Do you know what I'm actually also dying to watch is this new Transparent.
I've seen the first season. And
oh,
it was,
have you?
It was fantastic.
Yeah,
it was brilliant.
My friends have been watching it in America.
And especially growing up Jewish, there's so much of it that you will get like, this is my family.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm
absolutely.
Sure.
Back to myths.
So the extension of the shoe size and everything else becomes that size equals satisfaction. And the bigger the better. And this is just so much nonsense.
I mean, what about, I've also heard about length. Well, actually, I don't know if I've heard about it, or it's more been like drunken I've never games, where we've been, I've never been with a short, stumpy, but big girth. And then I've never been with a long, thin pencil.
Yeah. So the interesting thing is that
does that
in
make
the
a
studies
difference?
That have done that most women would prefer the girth than the length.
Yes, yes. That is also
because
what I've
there's
heard.
A wonderful feeling of kind of fullness with that. Second thing, you have to think about this, and this is simple anatomy. The G-spot, or the beginning of the G-spot, is about 2 centimeters inside the yoni.
Yeah.
So if something is intent on going really deep and all the action is kind of just here, then that's what you're missing out on.
If it's too pencil.
Yeah, because you're kind of not hitting anything that's really sensitive.
Yes.
So that makes a big difference. So the biggest thing with that is knowing how to use what you've got rather than what you've got.
I've always kind of figured that men with small penises make better lovers. Mm. And my thinking behind it is that...
lesbian. That's
his penis is so small, he really needs to work so much harder to satisfy a girl. Whereas a man with
he's
a big penis...
He's overcompensate.
Yeah. He kind of puts it in and expects
but you know
it
what?
To do the work.
Yeah, because a lot of that just comes down to this ego and this myth that if it's big, it's good. Yeah.
And that's the biggest load of crap. I mean, I saw... If you've been to the Sex Museum in Amsterdam... I literally saw a man with a penis. It was, I must think he must have the worst sex life ever. It was the size of an elephant trunk. It came down between his knees and a woman was giving him head. She could not fit the head in her mouth.
No.
Like she could
no
not
way
fit the top of the penis. It was like
kind of like licking a lollipop more than giving
and
head.
And there's no way that
that's a
that
good
many
sensor.
Women are actually going to be able to take something like that. Mm-mm. So yeah. Forget it.
Yeah, like absolutely worst sex life ever. Happen.
Yeah. So, and the bigger generally a cock is, the more ego is involved Mm-mm-mm. with it.
Yeah.
And again, as you said, the guy thinks that's all I have to do is just kind of lie back and that's enough for her.
Yeah, yeah, starfish.
And that's kind of one of the opening lines I always get with men is that you just haven't been with the right man or his dick just wasn't big enough. I'm like, buddy, I've had really great big vibrators and dildos before. I don't need your big block.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And really learning to use what you got is so much more important. So remember when Brent was here a few weeks ago to redeem himself?
Oh, yes.
And we taught him the love dance.
Oh, yes.
And that was so amazing.
Did he give feedback about what happened after the love dance?
He didn't. So he's not fully redeemed yet, but he's on the way. He's on the road to redemption. But when you learn that, that's where sex changes so much. Which kind of comes with a very interesting other myth that it's connected to, is that good lovers are natural.
Yeah, well, how can you be natural if you haven't had any training? So, like, how can I be an amazing natural doctor or something like that if I don't know anything about medicine? You know?
Yeah, so there's a kind of...
It's not instinctual necessarily.
There's a part of that that has a level of truth, which says that you are instinctively or intuitively or something inside of you is going to allow you to connect with somebody deeper.
Yeah.
It's going to allow you to read their body, to kind of know where to touch. But a lot of times with some anatomy and with some knowledge and some sexual technique, that expands what you have. Naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a lot of times there's so much that we can learn because we don't get brought up and it's part of the education, really learning about our bodies, about somebody else's body. So how are you expected to know a lot of this stuff?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. That's the problem. You know, that's the problem. And the problem is also is people are too scared to admit that they want to learn because it's bruising their ego and they're too scared to ask for help about it or actually go about learning about it.
Yeah.
And also, you know, a lot of women have huge problems with their men exploring that side.
Because there's all sorts of body images and body shame.
Yes,
and
they're like, you're looking at these women who look like this or you know. So it's hard.
Yeah.
It's a difficult topic. It really is.
So here's an interesting myth that has just come through to us. The myth that gay men don't come through the penis when they fucked hard in the ass.
What?
So I'm presuming what he's saying is there is a myth that gay men don't come. So if I'm kind of on the receiving end, that I will have an orgasm while I'm being fucked.
Oh, okay.
But you do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so the myth is, so I'm presuming that
the myth is that they don't orgasm.
Yeah.
I mean, is it possible that they don't orgasm? I assume it is.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's going to happen every time. Yes. It doesn't mean it's going to happen with every person.
Yeah, but an orgasm doesn't necessarily happen just by penetration.
No.
Yes, exactly.
There's so many other ways.
10,000 other ways, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. So orgasms are their own huge field of
And is an orgasm for a guy... And I assume not necessarily the same as for a girl. A lot of girls can't come from just penetration.
No, it's totally different. And there's different kinds of orgasms.
Yeah.
And also, this is also one of the biggest myths in the Western world, that orgasm and ejaculation are the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's primarily because every time generally that men have sex, from the time they started touching themselves at 12, 13, whenever that was, that they had the orgasm and the ejaculation, so they're the same thing.
Yeah.
And they're not, because men can separate the two, and men can be multi-orgasmic. And for most guys, once that's happened, I'm done. So my joke is always it should be called going, not coming.
I'm exhausted. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But they're not, and men can learn to firstly keep that energy in their body and recycle it, which means they can kind of keep going.
Yeah.
And have multiple orgasms, because it's the ejaculation that ends the sexual cycle, not the orgasm.
Ah, we're learning new things on cliffcentral.com today.
So one is to then assume that it's not a myth that after sex men like to sleep.
No, and one of the theories is that because there's so much involved in the production of sperm in the body, that after that, the energy is depleted. Because when you learn the difference and you learn to keep that energy in your body, it actually becomes energizing rather than depleting.
Well, I mean, I feel like this. I'm ready for a rave. I am full guns blazing afterwards.
Which
and
is kind
Daniel's
of interesting
like,
because drooling. It's always been thought that men have this much more powerful sexuality than women and that men are much more, it's kind of linked in, let's play with this a little bit.
Yeah.
The idea that women are more monogamous than men. But think about the fact that if after one sexual partner, that's how you feel, multiply that by three or four, how would you feel?
Yeah.
And sometimes women's sexual cycle will allow for much greater sexual activity than men's.
Yeah. I mean, is there anywhere in the world where a woman can be in a polygamous relationship in terms of, no, I mean, a woman can have multiple husbands, so not the other way around.
I have no idea legally, but in the polyamorous communities,
does happen.
Yeah, and even in the swinger communities where a woman will have a lot of different lovers. And it's just that we've been so conditioned, so socially conditioned for women's sexuality to be so limited.
Or for men to have that.
Yeah.
For men to be able to experience that, but
that's
not
it.
Women.
That's it. And a sexually voracious woman, and I've known a lot of women through the years, and a lot of women who come and do sexual healing journeys, this amazing sexuality wakes up in them and this incredible power to explore and to have these experiences. Mm. And often the more sexual energy, the more the power.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And interesting, another myth that comes up during this is that men think about sex. Somebody wrote something years ago that said every 7 seconds a man thinks about sex.
That's a lot.
You'd not be able to string a sentence together.
Right. So firstly, that's absolute junk. But then it came down to men think about sex, like, let's say, 20 times in a day.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, fair enough, fantastic. But then you start looking at some other studies. Men think about sleeping as much as they think about sex. They think about eating as much as they think about sex. They think about a whole lot of other things as much.
Yeah.
Are women any different? No.
Absolutely
say,
not.
I think of those things all day long.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And then, you know, women also, there comes a certain amount of, you know, embarrassment or something to be, oh, I'm overly sexualized, you know, I'm
because
thinking about sex all
the
time.
The
exactly. Whereas it's, you know, women need to start actually embracing that.
That's it.
And knowing that thinking about sex all the time or wanting to have sex or wanting to have good sex is a great thing.
Absolutely.
It's and a it's great a thing.
Yeah, and it's a continuous thing. As we learn, as we grow, as we expand, so our sexual understanding expands. Our sexual experiences expand.
Expand, yeah.
And the more that we do that, the more amazing possibilities we come up with. So we think about it more. And that's a natural extension because if you learn more about something, it becomes more a part of your life.
Mm-mm.
So you give more energy to it.
Yeah.
You want to explore it more, read about it more, watch about it more.
Do you know what I would actually like to do? This is a recommendation for a show. And maybe you've even done it before without me and I'd be so upset. We'd have to re-record it.
We could always do it again because some things are
Is a book show, a sexual book show.
We have done erotica.
Okay. But I mean, like, actually, like, not necessarily, like, textbooks, because that's also, I don't know if I want to learn about the inside of a vagina.
No, but we...
But do you know what I mean? Like, really good books about relationships or good books about, you know, finding some sort of spiritual connection or good books about sex or where do we actually, if we can't go to porn, if we can go to Eros Life, and where else can we go?
Yeah.
You know, where else can we go? If we can't go to Cosmo, we can't go to Men's Health.
Like a resource show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
We do little bits of it every now and then with whatever topic we're talking about.
Yeah.
We've never done a whole show.
Yeah.
But we have, and we've done some. The last one we did with Paige, which was really awesome, erotica.
Yeah.
So that would be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's something that we do come back to because lots of fun. And the world of erotica has so much.
Yeah.
You know, we do this amazing workshop every now and
then. It's not just Mills and Boo.
No.
Yeah.
We do this beautiful workshop called Awakening the Erotic Spirit.
Mm.
So we start out with a discussion on the difference between porn and eroticism, which is always really interesting.
Yeah.
And then kind of go a little bit into the taboos. Where does it come from? What are the taboo words? And especially the biggest taboo word is?
I don't know.
We're
the
thinking.
The C word.
Oh, cunt. Oh, cunt. Okay, I thought it would maybe be a little bit less, but I guess that's why it's taboo.
Yeah,
never mind.
The
never mind.
Taboo word,
it's yeah. very turn offy.
Oh, it is very.
Yeah, but the context yeah. can make it different.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
If Paige writes it, she can make it really hot.
Yes.
And what's the other woman that I had? The photography woman. What's her name?
Mishi.
Can ooh. I?
Oh,
anything
God.
That
Lisa
she
was sliding off the chair.
Oh, really?
But this thing is that she's got this American accent, and she's just the
oh,
way
we know that
she,
you're kind of partial to that.
Yes, I'm partial to the American accent, and she like the way she speaks is like, "Hey, Lisa, how are you doing today?"
So
and
she gives
like,
off this energy.
Yeah, I turn into like a little girl. Yeah. No, she's absolutely amazing. Yeah.
And then what we do in this workshop?
Yeah,
we dump a whole lot of erotic poems in the middle of the table. That I collect from all sorts of sources. So there's gay and there's straight and there's bondage and there's anal and there's hectic stuff and gentle stuff and romantic and sensual and beautiful and hardcore. And it becomes the most amazing exploration using writing. And then at the end, everybody writes their own piece.
We should, do a slam a sexual slam poetry evening.
I'm there.
We really should. We're
okay.
organizing it.
There we go. Mr. Creative Director, Arie Kelman.
Yes.
We shall tweet him.
Let's tell him.
He's in a meeting right across the corridor, so I don't know if he's listening or not.
We organizing
he's supposed to
sexual
be the creative director
poetry.
Of the show, of the station.
Yes.
So for nearly 2 years, we've been wondering about the title of creative director. There's his producer walking right there. So there we go. Kat and Ari, we are going to put together a sexual slam poetry evening. That is our event. There
amazing.
We go.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
Sponsored
thank
by Cliff Central.
There
thank
we
you very
go.
Much.
We'll find a whole lot of other sponsors. There we go. We have a project. That is
yay!
So
I'm
cool.
excited.
Ah, that is
a sex store. Jittery Citizens and Cliff Central
there
make sweet love to each
I
other.
I am just.
That's so nice.
Exciting.
That is exciting.
I fucking love that idea.
Can I tell you a really funny story about the word cunt?
Yes.
So have you ever seen Vagina Monologues?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, the last time I saw Vagina Monologues being performed live, I was in, maybe I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on a day out with one of our 150-year-old Jewish studies teachers. And we were sitting, it was the
all
girls
the
and
David
boys,
girls,
right? All the King David girls and boys,
yeah.
sitting in the two front rows. And at some point, one of the actors go, "Right, everybody, come on, join me when I say the word cunt. Say it louder, cunt. Come on, once more, cunt." And she's screaming out like this. And I've got this old, wrinkly Jewish studies teacher who is so religious going, cunt, cunt,
oh,
cunt.
No.
And we were cringing, dying and laughing at the same time.
Yeah.
It may have been the funniest and most disgusting experience of my entire life.
What changed it for me, because I was never comfortable with the word.
Yes, yeah.
And then I had a lover who screamed at me one day, "Fuck my cunt as hard as you can." And it like shocked me. And
yeah.
It forced me to go to this place inside of me that I had never been before, this like real fire, animalistic. Ah! And it really challenged me and it stretched me, but it got me in touch with something so amazing.
Yeah.
And that changed it for me.
Yeah.
That she could own this power.
Yeah.
That there were times where she had a pussy and times where she had a yoni, but times where this fire was raging, and that's when she had a cunt.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, also, we've spoken about it on the show before, but there are some disgusting words.
Oh, yeah.
Clunge.
Oh, you go
pish
looking.
Flaps.
You go looking, and there are thousands. What was that one stripper? Maguacha.
Oh, yes.
What? Remember, she said something, something, her maguacha. And I said, what is... Oh. And then...
Yeah, what is that? Puni, punani. I mean, there are... They're gazillions.
Oh, you go looking. You look up, you'll find thousands in the list.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So let's go back to the myths.
Cool.
The first time that you have sex is going to be painful.
Mine was, so I don't know.
Yeah. Mine was too.
Okay, but this is because of generally either a woman isn't ready.
Yeah.
Or a guy doesn't know what he's doing, or he's too rough.
Yeah.
But with the right kind of preparation, it doesn't have to be. And that's the myth. That it has to be.
Or that every woman bleeds.
Yeah. Because essentially you're expected to be a virgin with an intact hymen.
Yes,
but there are so many ways that a hymen actually breaks or tears in so many activities.
Mm.
In sports, in gymnastics, in
that's
climbing
why spinning
a tree
is so fun.
So many different things.
I love my spinning instructor. Faster, harder, yes.
Especially, we should get some special bicycles that you can reserve, some special saddles. No, with the dildo on. Or like
yeah, we'll really be paying 94.7.
You know, that would be interesting because the movement of the vibrator could be linked to your pedaling.
Yes, that's
so
what I'm
saying. Faster and harder you pedal.
Yes. We all signing up for the Argus. Yes.
The only signing problem with that is that you can't necessarily slow down quick enough to just stop what's happening. Yeah.
Ow.
So you need, like, as well as having your water bottle, you know, and you've got the little special place for your water bottle, you need a little container for lube to keep on adding more and more and more.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's another myth. I have to say that this is a new one for me. The myth that white blonde women can't carry AIDS.
What?
So I know.
Jacob Zuma sent that in, didn't he? That was Jacob Zuma sending that in.
Or the myth that babies or raping babies cure AIDS.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's also.
But that's more stupid than a myth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's more ignorance.
Anything about the myth that white blonde women don't carry AIDS?
Is that why you always only have white blonde women here?
So we don't know anything about that one.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I think there's myths and then there's just stupidity, though. Like
absolutely.
Taking a shower afterwards and all that kind. I mean.
What about like peeing after sex? I heard that that's also very. I don't know if that's a myth or if that's a way to avoid getting an infection.
That's a myth.
UTI.
You pee after sex often because your bladder has kind of been stimulated simply because that's the area that you're touching.
Yeah.
So that's it.
We are actually the myth busters.
Yeah.
We really are.
Yeah,
and we
didn't
have
to. Did you see the little thing I put on Facebook?
Yes, I did. But we didn't even have to do any experiences. And look at us. We are busting myths left, right, and center.
Absolutely. So here's an interesting one about wet dreams because that's kind of always a big one.
Oh.
Especially for like teenage guys. Mm-mm-mm. That only men have wet dreams.
Not true.
Not true.
Not true at all.
It's only mostly that the entire bed is wet after a man has a wet dream with a woman, not so much.
Yeah. But the interesting thing or the difference with that is when a man ejaculates, it's about often like about 5 mils of sperm, you know, which is like a little teaspoon. Sometimes a little bit more, but not much.
Sure.
But you think of some female ejaculation. I mean, sometimes you're talking, you know, I've had experiences with women where you're talking like half a liter of fluid, if not
what?
More. Yes.
A woman.
We are going to do, sometime this year, we are going to do a live squirting in the studio.
We've done that.
No, we haven't.
No
We've done expanded
way.
Orgasm.
Oh, we did the expanded orgasm.
Yes. So when I mentioned it to Gareth.
He wasn't too excited.
No. He chuckled and then he said, just make sure that everything is covered in plastic.
There we go. Kind of like Gladrector.
It's actually, we should get Gladrector to sponsor it.
Yeah.
I often think that they wish there was a separate studio for the sex talk show.
Yeah. Like on Hell's
they
Kitchen.
They come in
you know,
here and they don't want to touch anything.
Drape the whole kitchen because they're going to fume it. We will drape the whole studio in industrial strength plastic.
We can do it on the roof, like in the Canute show.
This is also actually another
then
question.
Then will we draw a crowd? Yeah.
This is another myth and a question. Can every girl squirt?
Okay, very interesting because essentially the answer is about 90%+ of women can. So it's a mixture.
What are we doing wrong?
It's a mixture of a few things. The first is the knowing how
control.
The first is the.
Is it control?
part of it. So first is knowing how to. And that's a little bit of the technique of learning about your body, of where the fluid's produced from, how you actually
make this
happen.
And does it come from the pee hole?
Yes.
Okay. So how do you know you peeing?
Because it's totally separate. The smell, the taste, the texture.
But the feeling is almost the same, which is why you get confused because you think you're about to pee. Then you don't pee. You actually.
And that's where a lot of women tend to shut it down. Mm. So that's the first thing is the how to, the anatomy, the physiology, the technique of it. The second is the emotional aspect. So what happens for a lot of women, for example, you need to stimulate the G-spot for this to happen. Now, a lot of women don't think that they have a G-spot, and they spend hours looking inside, and their partners spend hours looking for this thing that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It does. So what happens? All the guilt, the shame, the embarrassment, the negative experiences we've had, the negative beliefs we've had, the inhibitions about sex, about our body, that emotionally goes and sits in the G-spot.
Yes.
So you look for something that actually is just not awake because of all the emotional and energy stuff sitting there. So once you release that, that's when it starts to become more possible.
I mean, it's actually, it sounds to me like it's breath work, actually.
Part of
like,
it is.
When we do, you know, a huge aspect of performance that we learn at Varsity is about visualization because we're working with the breath and the breath is something that can't be seen. And it sounds like the same thing for the G-spot.
In a way,
you know?
Yes. So,
visualizing
is,
and...
Yes, quite a lot of it is very gentle and very specific G-spot massage and stimulation.
Yeah.
A lot of that is visualization. And it goes much deeper into looking at the beliefs that we have about sex, about pleasure. If I feel embarrassed about the way I look when I have an orgasm, I am never going to let go to that extent.
Yeah.
So many things like that involved. But almost every woman can learn to do that. And some women that I've taught have literally made this happen within 2 weeks. And for some, it takes much longer because of the emotional aspect.
And does does the orgasm feel any different? Like, what is the benefit of squirting?
Firstly, it's an incredibly powerful experience for a woman.
Mm.
Pleasure level's very, very high. But it's not always linked to an orgasm.
Okay.
So you can have G-spot orgasms and not ejaculate. And you can do this without having orgasms.
And it just kind of feels like a pee.
No, it feels amazing pleasure, but it's not an orgasm.
The initial feeling to it is, oh, I need to pee first.
Yeah.
And that's why most women clench up
and
they stop.
And they cut that down instead of going past that.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, I'm learning.
So,
I'm learning.
And
it's good.
There are women who, once it starts happening, there'll be one ejaculation, another, and it's just this amazing thing. And somebody that I did this with a while ago, literally afterwards had to drink about 3 liters of water to replace the fluid that she totally dehydrated.
What?
So
crazy.
You need to tell Dan, the man, to listen to the podcast today.
You know what? We should start
just tell
every
Dan
show.
Dan as his engagement present. I will happily, happily teach him some wonderful things.
I'm telling him he's coming. He's coming for lessons. Are you listening,
babe?
You mean
he's going?
Yeah. He's going for lessons, exactly.
There we go. And we did invite you guys last week, but again, I don't think you remember.
I was not listening or talking.
Yes.
I actually think Dan and I would love to come on the show together. I think that would be amazing because already I'm telling him every single week, I hope you're listening. I hope you're listening to what's going on.
So we did invite you guys to the next water massage as a gift, which is on the 29th.
Oh, that's nice. 29th of March. Mm. We will make a plan.
Cool.
We will be water massaging each other.
Water massaging.
We'll be doing that.
Yes. So the next myth that comes up is that women don't watch porn.
Let's scrap that one, move on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Because all of the studies are saying that over 85% of women are watching porn.
Like, I don't feel like I need porn, to be honest. Like, I don't feel like... You know, I feel like I do have a strong imagination and I don't, it's not essential. Like, I feel like guys, or not necessarily guys, but, you know, the men that I've been with are more reliant on it.
Mm.
And that could also just be from starting at a young age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watching
and the fact that a lot of guys cannot function sexually without fantasy.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
So, and it's one of the biggest blocks to having higher and deeper spiritual and energy sexual experiences.
Yeah.
Because if you're in this fantasy, you're not in your body. You're not in your heart. You're not in your energy. You're somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's it's a huge thing. And the same thing for women. Because a lot of women fantasize during sex just as much as men.
Yeah. So, absolutely. Of course we do.
Yeah.
And it's also for me, it's a very outside my body, like a very visual thing. Very, very visual. Like, you know, I'm constantly seeing things in my head. It's,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and that's what
and
it
hearing
is.
Voices.
This one is quite an important one because it goes a lot to social beliefs that men cheat more than women.
Bullshit. Oh,
because if men cheat more than women, who are all these men cheating with, firstly?
Exactly. And it's this whole Ashley Madison stigma crap. It really is, you know. I think it's, I don't know. I think you're right. It's just, it's stigma, stereotype, and it's expectations.
Another big one, because industries have been spawned about this in the same way that most of the beauty industry is based on myth.
Yeah.
And I think that's accepted.
Yeah.
Is that you can make your cock bigger, longer.
Using a pump.
Yeah. Or through pills or exercises or these porn star secrets.
You were born with it.
That's it.
That's it, baby.
Without surgery, that's it.
Yeah.
Interesting thing, though, is that when men do pelvic floor muscle exercises, what happens over time is that you do have stronger erections. And as you get older, you're able to maintain erections for longer. And it really helps with blood flow, which is really, really important.
I'm doing my Kegels right now. Can you tell?
About health. But now I'll tell you something very interesting about Kegels.
Tell us.
That when there's tension in the yoni, which a lot of women have anyway, the Kegels actually make that worse. So the new theory is
don't do Kegels.
No, do a little bit, but you need to do squats and some of the yoga exercises which help open your pelvis.
Squatting Kegels.
I've got a hypo.
Particularly like yoga squats.
Yeah, I've got like a hypo, I don't know what it's called. Like I can really move my pelvis like a pretzel.
So if all else fails, a bar in Thailand. Don't give up your day job yet.
Yes, I'm going there in December. I'll let you know how
ping-pong
it goes.
Balls.
Yeah, exactly. Pop, 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 pop. No, I actually went to go to a back specialist and she was like, no, you hypermobile. That's what she called it, actually. And I was like, oh, what does that mean?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yeah, I'm a bobcat. I'm a bobcat. Or human pretzel, who knows?
So here's another one, which is kind of the myth that poo just falls out of really gay men because their assholes are ruined and they walk around with butt plugs.
Again, that's not a myth. That's but stupidity.
Absolutely. But have you heard of a rose?
A rose.
Or a sock?
No.
So this could also be a myth, but I actually love speaking to my gays because I've got my besties. I've got my girls. Gays. I've got my girls and my gays, and they're my besties, and they teach me everything. So my gay bestie Roberto tells me about something called a rose, where he says too much sex is when like the inner bits of the bum start coming out.
That's called a prolapse.
Just kidding. Or obviously a rose is colloquial.
A rose by any other name.
Exactly. The rose amongst the thorns. And a sock is apparently when that intestine or the whole something comes out. And I mean, I don't know. Apparently there's videos on YouTube and you can see it. But that sounds horrific. I mean, if I told you my story in Amsterdam, I went to the sex shop and I said, oh, that's so funny. Look over there. There's a stool that's shaped like a dick because you could sit on it. You could rest your like drink on it because that's how bloody big the thing was.
Oh, wow.
And I said to them, oh, this is so funny. Like, do people buy this furniture? And he's like, it's not furniture. And on the box, it's written, a weapon of ass destruction.
Mm. Oh, no.
But that doesn't even sound enjoyable.
No, but you go into some of the fetish shops and you'll see the most amazing toys and dildos, like fist shaped.
Yes, like fist. There was one that was like a shape like this, so like your fingers together on this side, and it went around into a fist. And I was like, how can that go? Like, where does that go? In two bums? Or what does that do?
I tell you a funny story.
A bum and a johnny? What is
that? There was a show on TV a while ago. I don't remember what it was called. The premise of the show was the one partner would set up a surprise for the other partner.
Mm-mm.
So they phoned me and they say, will I come and teach this couple a sensual massage lesson? It was like their fantasy. So she wanted to set this up for him. So cool. Off we go. And we create this whole scene of creating a sensual space, and they film it, and we do the whole introduction. And then they got to go, the crew has to go and find him at work. Because that's the whole thing. They got to go and surprise him at work, and they bring him back to the house. And they couldn't find him.
Oh, shit.
So he was supposed to be
at
a meeting, and he wasn't at the meeting, and he was at the other branch, and he was at the other branch, and nobody could find this guy. So I'm alone with her waiting for this whole thing to happen. And she starts telling me about how she cannot get anything big enough inside of her. And starts showing me their collection of dildos. And I'm telling you, we're talking almost like traffic cones.
You know? What? Oh, my gosh.
And I'm
sitting
there waiting for him to come back thinking, I really want to get this over with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is, I don't know. Like, are people really into that?
Absolutely.
That's so great. Is it because she can't, she possibly needs more of a sensation? Like,
sometimes
is it because
it's more of kind of an emotional filling.
Okay. So it's not necessarily that she's loose.
No. No, not at all. Because remember that the tissues of the yoni stretch, they expand and they contract.
Yeah.
So remember that they come back to a pretty normal kind of size.
Well, except after childbirth, they say. You've got to get it reconstructed.
No, that's absolute nonsense. That is so dangerous. It's one of the biggest myths.
Really?
Birth does not destroy yonis. If you do perineal massage and you do Kegels and you do squats, you actually end up with better conditioned muscles than before. And that is absolute myth. It's horrendous. Because women have come to see me after those experiences where they have lost all sexual sensation.
Really?
So that is real serious myth stuff.
Okay, fine. Yeah, we are
absolutely.
We are busting them big time.
Yes.
So moms who have just had their baby, no reconstructive
anything. And that's
why
when you learn about natural birth, about water birth, and you prepare for this, it becomes incredible.
No. But that's the thing, is that it's a muscle. And if you cut a muscle anywhere, you could cause permanent damage to it.
And that's what happens.
And that's what people don't understand. So now you're going to go and you're going to go cut there, cause damage, and potentially
And this amazing collection of nerves.
Doctors do that during childbirth.
Yeah.
They cut it.
Yeah, an episiotomy.
Yes.
And more times than not, it is absolutely, and I'm making a very generalized blanket statement, and I am not a medical practitioner.
Yes.
But a lot of times it is totally unnecessary.
Really?
And it's for convenience because of the way giving birth lying on your back is one of the worst ways that you can give birth.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other story.
Yes.
We're definitely going to come back to this because there are so many more myths.
Dictionary word.
Dirty dictionary word. Yeastiality is, you guys, you were right at the end. It's a fetish for bread.
Oh,
it often involves having sex with warm dough.
Well, do you know what the truth is? Is anything that sounds like bestiality sounds like it should be really gross.
Yeah, and that's pretty much kind of what it is.
The truth is my obsession with carbohydrates, that is absolutely understandable. Mm. For me, making love to a amazing fresh white piece of challah with loads of butter on it on a Friday night and eating the whole thing is the most delicious experience of my
absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. No.
When's the next show?
So we are performing, Jittery Citizens are performing on the 31st of March at Joburg Theatre with a huge celebrity guest. Huge, huge, huge.
Huge because he's big or just huge because he's well known?
Huge because he's big and he's well known. So we would love everybody to be there. So please get in touch with us on our Facebook page at Jittery Citizens. And if you hashtag Sex Talk Show, you can win yourself some tickets. Why not?
Fantastic.
Yay.
Booking for Waves of Pleasure in Mozambique. tantric retreat that I'm doing with dolphin swimming at the most awesome resort is open, and there's some great and easy payment packages to make this possible.
Cool.
Because it really is awesome. So visit www.eroslife.co.za for that.
I'm bringing my stikini.
We are getting quite close to the workshops in Cape Town. I'm doing two workshops. On Sunday the 27th, Essentiality for Healing, Growth, Meditation, and Connection, which is really awesome, a whole day. And on Monday the 28th, The Art of Sex, How to Really Up Your Sexual Skills and Become an Amazing Lover.
And where are those going to happen in Cape Town?
Going to happen at... that's a good question.
Clifton Beach?
No. It's a yoga studio in Woodstock. And
awesome. And you'll
totally
post all of that on your...
On the website.
On the website. Fantastic.
Yes. This has been lots of fun, girls. Thank you.
It has. It's been
Absolutely.
Very informative. Thank
Absolutely.
You for busting
and
some
And we have scratched the surface. So I think this is a really cool thing that we can kind of come mm-hmm. back to again and again and again, which is fantastic.
Yay.
Next up is Casper and the team, who is looking very, very summery.
Yeah, look at him in his bright yellow and orange
Absolutely.
Attire.
And even though it is Easter Friday next week, we will be back in bunny suits with lots of chocolate and who knows what the heck we'll
the
be
Jews.
Doing.
The Jews will be back with the chocolate
the Jews
and the bunny.
Will be,
yeah. But we will be having lots of fun and we wish you all so much pleasure.
This is CliffCentral.com.